It's an honor to share the word with you and to watch that light strobe. That's keeping an eye on that one. Okay. Sorry, I get distracted real easy, so I don't mean to distract you, but I also like to have fun. You guys want to have some fun? I love joy. I love laughter, and we'll have none of it. No, I'm joking. The main thing is God is good, and man, when we're talking about the blood, how many of you know, like, that's it? Okay, man, like, you know there's no other way. Okay, just, we'll talk. All right, we'll talk. So, Philippians chapter 1, 1 through 11. I know I have three on the screen, and that's what I told them. They did their job. But I'm not going to skip over the first two, actually. So we're going to go to Philippians, but I want you to grab a Bible, get it out on your phone, make it look like you're texting, and but just look at the Bible. So get it out, because we're gonna go down 11 verses. We're going to talk about seven things, which is they always tell you never to do. You're supposed to give them three in 30 minutes and get out. So, yep, you guys are going to get double. You're going to get your money's worth. Okay. Let's stand. Let's go to God's word and let's listen to his truth, not me. Philippians chapter 1, 1 through 11 says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in my defense and in confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your truth to us, your church, that if we come to Christ, we're also coming to unity with one another, of one mind, one accord, one salvation, one baptism, one Father, one Savior, one Spirit. We need you, Lord. We are desperate for your washing. We're desperate for your Spirit. We need you above all things in this world, Lord. So you can just have it all back. Take it. But let us have you. Let us have your presence. Speak to every heart, Lord. We want to hear you. Thank you for truth. Thank you for your word. Thank you for hearing your children's prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So here in Philippians, we're going to catch you up a little bit. I say catch you up, but I'm just going to let you know what's going on. Paul's in prison, okay? And how would you like to have a pastor in prison? Well, you know, we're still got applications coming in. No? Okay, here's the cool thing is nobody would hire Paul, but Paul is awesome. And he's in prison, and he's writing this letter, and Acts 16 actually is where we can learn a lot about what's going on in Philippians. And what's going on here is Philippians is a really special town. It has, like, if you think of Roman rule, like Italy, Rome, Philippians is equal with Rome. Philippians has retired generals and officers from the army. It's about a town of 10,000 people. So think of Aledo like times 3, 4 with gates and walls around it. And guess what? According to Acts, there's no Jewish people. There's no synagogue because it takes 10 Jewish men to make a synagogue. And in Acts 16, Paul actually, on Sabbath day to go to the synagogue, he actually goes down by a river. There is no synagogue. Because this is Roman ruled, this is Rome, the people in the town, they could buy land, sell land, and own it. This is unheard of. You with me? Rome owned it all. So the fact that these people are there, they're Romans of the highest order, right? Like this is the upper class of everyone. So 10 Jewish people couldn't even get into the town to make a synagogue. In fact, I'll tell you later too, but in fact, Paul is preaching about Jesus and somebody says, hey, these guys are Jews preaching what we don't believe. And they got arrested and thrown in prison there. Right? So even people in the town, they'll just give an uproar, get these people out of here. And so it's quite the town. What's cool about this, though, is this is the first church plant of Paul on his missionary journey. He went there. And on this missionary journey, he actually meets Lydia. How many of you? Yep, not Clark. Sorry. All right. Lydia was actually the first convert. Because it was on Sabbath day, he goes down to the river because there's no synagogue, and he meets Lydia. And she is well off because she also is dyeing cloth purple. Like, doesn't sound like a big deal to us, does it? But I can tell you this, that to have something purple in those days was royalty. They got the color and the dye from oysters, and these things were down there. You had to get the blood. Not all of them had it. You got the blood or something special. I don't even recall. We won't go down that rabbit trail. But to own a purple cloth means you were like, and she was making these. She was dyeing the color. So she, like, people died to get the color purple. How about I say it that way? Is that good? You get me? Somebody whistling at me? Okay. You're welcome. Okay, so anyway, I won't get distracted. So in Acts 16, he meets Lydia. She's the first convert. He starts to plant a church. As he's walking along and hanging out with Lydia, and she's like, hey, Paul, Silas, everybody come to my house. You guys love Jesus. She got saved. She got baptized, and she baptized her whole house, and they're celebrating Jesus. And as Paul is traveling through the town, there's a little girl, and she is actually possessed. And every time Paul walks by, and it says many times that she did this, not just once, but she would say, hey, these guys are preaching the gospel and telling you how to get saved. And he walked by, and she's like, you know, just making fun of him. These guys are telling you the way to eternal life. Hey, these guys. And finally, Paul looks at her, and he's like, shut up. That's my version. But he actually says to her, come out of her. And it takes a demon out of this little girl that is prophesying and fortune telling and telling people the owners of this slave girl are just making money. They're like, yeah, come get your fortune. And then you broke her. But Paul knew what was really going on with this little girl, and they were trying to make money on her. So guess what they did? They called the police. Hey, there's some Jews over here. Come arrest them. They're saying stuff we don't believe. So they come. It's the, you know, the polizia in Italy. Anyway. So they come and they beat them. They beat them and throw them in jail. I mean, because this city, they don't do that. But you know what? They go to jail. And if Acts 16, this is what else happens. Earthquake. Chains fall off in the jail. Prison doors open up. just earthquake. The guard of the prison was like, everybody just got loose. He's thinking, oh, there goes my life. So he goes to harm himself. Like, uh-oh, they're going to do this anyway. I'm just going to get ahead of the game. And Paul yells out, don't do nothing. We're still here. That jailer gets saved. His whole household gets saved. He starts to hear about Jesus Christ. And so when Paul talks about his chains, this is what he's talking about. It's advancing the gospel. And this is the church plant. This is the church in Acts 16. And so when we read it, Paul's writing to the church that he planted, and all these things were happening. He's like, all right, hey, church, listen up. This is what I want you to do. I want you to have unity. I want you to have the same mind that Christ had. And he says, hey, church, here's what we're going to do. And he starts to write this letter, and this is what we're going to do. We're going to go 1 through 11 in this church plant, because Jesus actually models for us humility and love and fellowship, what our mindset should be. In fact, suffering, and Paul's writing it here, through suffering, he's living out a joyful mindset. Did you hear some of that? Even in my chains, I'm praying for you with all joy. All right, let's get to it. Chapter 1, verse 1. I'm going to give you the 7 points. This is number 1. He says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, right? We read that, but I'm going to keep going. Number 1 is to all the saints. How many of you, raise your hand if you're a saint. Ooh, we got some saints in here. Guess what? Let's find out what it means, because then you guys are going to be like, you tricked me. You don't have to do 2 miracles and die and wait 10 years. You can be a saint. Is Paul writing to people that are dead or people that are alive? Oh, you can be a saint when you're alive. Cool, yes. Now, here's the thing. Saint means this. You ready? The likeness of nature with the Lord, different from the world. Likeness of nature with the Lord and different from the world. Here's the thing. The Old Testament synagogue, the Old Testament temple, was holy, sanctified, set apart, different than all other buildings. Why? Why was the Old Testament temple, it's called Shekinah glory, why was it different? God's presence was there, all right? You follow me? So to the saints, set apart, different from the world, where God's holiness dwells. How many of you are a saint? All right, we're going to keep going. I've been called a lot of things in my life. You know what the most one is? Different. Now you can just, because of that meaning, like, you're different, you're set apart. You know what that, just call me Saint Seth, yeah? Saint, all right. Jenny's going to put it on a t-shirt, right? But here's the thing. He's writing to people that are alive. Why? They're the saints. They're the ones in all of this town. And guess what? Even in this town, they didn't have to pay taxes. Now we all want to live there. But here's what they're set apart even in this town, because they're the church. They're the ones with Jesus. They're the ones that are set apart from the world. You're a saint if you know Jesus. Jesus makes you that saint. Here's verse 2. Grace to you and peace from God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you hear that? Grace and peace. Right away, there's separation. Grace and peace, right here. If you don't know Jesus, you don't know peace. If you do not know Jesus, you do not know God's grace. Because God's grace, God's love, gave us Jesus to rescue us. And this is for the whole world, right? This is the grace and peace we receive from Jesus Christ. It's the gospel. In verse to, it tells us that we have that grace and peace. And I can tell you that I'm going to picture there's a doorway here. This doorway is Jesus Christ. And I'm going to actually come down here then. God's up above all. How many of you know without the doorway of Christ, there's no way in? This is the gospel, church. This is our unity. What is it? That God stepped down out of heaven and came and made himself a man with flesh on. Why? Because this is the rescue plan. That God set his glory aside, became a man, dwelt among us, humbled himself to become lower than his glory, his goodness, his grace. How many of you know that when Jesus was walking the earth, he could have said, hey, I'm Jesus, serve me. Hey, I'm Jesus, wash my feet. Do you know, Philippians 2 says the mindset that Jesus had was that he was lower and he served. I say it when I joke, it's about Joe's Pizza. Like, imagine Jesus just walking into Joe's Pizza and he's like, hey, I'm Jesus, give me a pizza. Right? Like, Sicilian, right? With pepperoni. Because he's kind of Italian. So, and Joe would be like, I'm making you a good pizza, Jesus. What I want to say, above all, how many times did Jesus use his glory? I'm the Son of God, serve me. How many times? I have all the glory in the world, bow. He humbled himself. The way it says is he emptied himself of all the glory. He found himself in the likeness of a man and says, I will not make myself equal with God, but because I'm in the flesh, I will humble myself and do whatever God says. And God says, go to the cross, son. And Jesus says, not my will, but yours. This is how much God loves the world. This is how much God loves you. This is the good news. This is the gospel, that God is on a rescue plan, sending Jesus so that we could step into God's presence. We can't even be there because God is holy. God is pure. God is set apart. God is the holy, holy, holy. Can't be near sin. How does he get near us? Glad you asked. The good news. Jesus Christ. He made a way in for the whole world. Church, this is our good news. This is what we should be preaching. This is what we should be declaring. God was in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. God was in Christ, reconciling us back to himself. Why? Why was he doing that? I'm glad you asked that too. Matthew 25. 45, I think it's actually 41 through 45. Look it up for yourselves, okay? It says this, that God is going to come in all of his glory. Jesus is going to come in his glory, and he's going to separate the sheep. You're the good people, everybody over here. The sheep from the goats. All right? The sheep, calm down, from the goats. But here's where it hurts. Can you imagine God saying to anyone, get out of my presence? There's no love. There's no joy. There's no happiness. There's no goodness. There's no kindness. There's no marriage. There's nothing good outside of God's presence. And guess what? In Matthew, it says, he'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. Go to the place prepared for the devil and his angels. Do you hear that? Who's hell prepared for? Why are people going? God didn't make hell for people. It says it's for the devil and his angels, and they're the ones that are supposed to be separated. God made a way for the whole world to come into his presence, to be healed, to be reconciled, to be free from burdens, from sin, from struggle, from shame, from lust, from anything this world has on you. He can cleanse you and pull you out. Why are we not running? And then why are the good news? God's not counting your trespasses against you. God's not counting your sins against you in Christ. Somebody's with me. Okay, I'll calm down if you get fired up. How's that? Deal. This is why Paul in verse 3 says, and we're just getting started. I thank my God in all remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy. The first one is the gospel. We got to have the good news. The second one, we got to pray. Christ made prayer our work. Do you hear that? Christ made prayer our work. I can't save someone. I can't even wash away someone's sins, believe it or not. I have not tried, but I know that's Jesus' job. But I can pray for you. And that's everything. Right? Some people say, well, I can pray. About the only thing I can do is pray. By golly, you got it. You tripped right over it. If we can pray, what do we lack, church? If we could call our Father in to rescue one soul, would He do it? And I'm holding up a prayer rock. You know why? Because you're supposed to have one in your pocket so you can pray. If you don't, get them at the welcome desk. Pray. Paul says, I hold you in my heart and pray for you with joy. Why? Because we're partakers of the gospel. Verse 5 says it this way, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, that's number 3. Are we in partnership, church? Did you put money in the offering? We ready to advance the kingdom? Are we ready to share the good news? Are we ready to preach it? Are we ready to share it? Let's band together and let's shout it from the rooftops. Let's live like we know it. There's a poem. It's an anonymous source, which means it's a good one. It says, you're writing a gospel. You're writing a chapter each day. By your deed you do and the word you say. Men and women, they're reading what you write. Are you faithful and true? What is the gospel according to you? Would someone look at your life and say, that's somebody that knows Jesus? That's what our prayer is. Verse 6, well, we'll get there. Our prayer would be that our life would shine Jesus. Our church would preach the good news. Our people would share it. And at last resort, use your words. Your life should be winning them. Your conduct, your tongue, your attitude of joy, your patience. Pick the long line. What gospel are people reading of you? Let's go to the next one, Philippians 1. Are you ready, Parker? 6-7, right? Philippians 1, 6 and 7. And I am sure of this, he who began a good work in you. Did you hear that? Paul is sure that Jesus who begins this gospel in us will complete it. And then 7, it says, right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart for you're all partakers of me, with me, of grace. Did you hear that? I said it a lot. I said it jumbly, so I'm going to repeat it. I hold you in my heart for you're all partakers with me of God's grace. God tells us a lot. If we have freely received His grace, we're freely receiving it from God. What should we freely give? Oh, we share the gospel that way. How I love someone right here is going to be how much I show God I love him. Oh, God, I received your grace, but I'm not forgiving that guy. Oh, God, I got your forgiveness and I love you, but that flub-a-dub, no way, I'm not forgiving him. That means, you know, dirtbag. Yeah. God, I got this, but I'm not handing it out. God, I've got it. No, we're partakers with him. We're ambassadors. We're supposed to be the lights in a dark world. We're supposed to be the light on the hill. We're supposed to be the salt of the earth. When we get it from God, we're just passing it out wholesale. And guess who? Whose resource we're dipping in for it? It's not mine. It's God's grace. It's God's love. It's God's goodness. I'm not producing this myself. I'm just asking and praying and pleading for it. And when I get it, I want to give it. This one is number 4, all partakers of the grace. All right, let's go to 8. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with affections of Christ Jesus. Do you see that? This cleans it up really nice, so I'm going to let you know this is different. This yearning is like bowels. You hear that? My bowels are moved for you in Christ Jesus. It doesn't sound the same, does it? It's like, did you go to Taco Bell or what's so gonna let you know. Can you imagine that kind of move? Like you I'm loving you in Christ. I mean, that's this yearning is not like, we don't get it. But when you get it, you understand, like, God moves you in such a way, there's no way I'm not coming to you with his grace. He moves in his spirit, and it's deep, and it's like, go talk to that person and tell them you see them. Go tell that person they're loved, and you feel it moving. And you guys get that one. But if I tell you to go yearn for people in Christ, you're like, is that knitting? Yearning? No, that's yarn. Okay. Stay with it. Here. Okay. Moving forward. That was longing for the affections of others, a common heart. It's just what Christ had. I get to have Christ's heart. 9. Let's look at 9. Here it comes. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more with the knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless. I think John's still trying to get it together. So, here's what I'm going to say again. You ready? ESV, it says it this way. Be pure and blameless. For us, doesn't mean anything. King James got this a little better. It says, be sincere. How many of you have ever heard that? Sincere. Okay, sincere apology. How many of you have brothers and sisters, right? Did you give your brother a sincere apology? And you're like, I'm sorry. Like, try again. There ain't no feel. There is no sincerity, right? The Greek word for sincerity is elkarinos. El meaning the splendor of the sun. Like, what? I didn't know. I'm like, what do you mean? This means the splendor of the sun with discernment. And I didn't understand it. And there was 2 things that helped me to get it. All right, you ready? I think Paul got this from Lydia. The cloth. You know why? How many of you have ever taken a cloth or anything and held it up to the light? You ever see the thread count? All right, what? Austin, come help me out, buddy. What color is this cloth? White. Now I don't have the power of the sun in my hand, but I got a flashlight. When you hold it up to the sun, guess what's going to shine through? Does anybody see anything in there that is this white, or is it white with some boogers on it? Wait. Well, do you see any spots? Do you see any wrinkle? Any? Did you? Who? Yep.
That's right.
Okay. So now what color is it? Okay, thank you, Austin. I can't raise my arm that high, so that's why I needed help. But when you hold something up to the sun, what do you see? Spots, blemishes. You're holding it up. You're like, oh, let's put that away. Okay? All right. When you hold it up to light, you see things. What we do this one a lot. How many of you ever had your money looked at, right? With it? Let's call the Secret Service. Okay. Stick with me. They're counterfeit. Okay. Has anybody with me? Okay, you hold anything up to the sun. There's another thing that this happened in building material. It was marble. Rome was like stone, everything. Marble. They had all of it. And this is how you could hide an imperfection. It had marble had cracks in it. They're like, hey, I got a countertop right over here. Do you know what they did in those cracks? They would take wax and fill it in. So there's two ways sincere. Through the sun, does this have spot or blemish? Or does this have wax in it? Is it pure? Why? Because you take that marble slab home and you're walking and the sunlight's hitting it and all of a sudden you got cracks. Because all they did was fill in the wax and sell you a cracked marble. So sincere became the word. Is it pure? Is it without spot? Is it without blemish? Is it without wrinkle? Can you hold it up to the sun? Is it pure? Is it good? Church, do you know who you're going to be held up to? Not the sun, like the one that's given the earth light, but God's Son. He's going to hold our lives up. Is there a spot in it? Are you sincere? He's going to hold it up. Is there wax in that? Are you real? Are you giving him all you got? Are you preaching the good news? Are you living the good news? Is he going to tell you, good job, well done, good and faithful servant? Or is there blemishes? Are we, the church, having blemishes in his bride? His word says that his bride should be holy and chaste, virgin, without spot, without wrinkle, without sin, without shame, without burden, without care. Why? So we can preach the good news. The good news. God is rescuing everybody, cleaning them up and making them just like him. Watch, he'll hold you up. Your life can be a witness. The way we talk, the way we live, the way we love our spouses, the way we love our children, the way God tells us to in his word. Everything is here. And then look at verse 11. We're getting to number 7 here. Verse 11 says it all. Because you're filled with the fruit of righteousness for God's glory. That should be us. Held up to the sun. Held up to Jesus, church. And if we got any hypocrisy, if we got anything, come. Be washed. The Bible says that he'll wash us, he'll cleanse us, he'll purify us from all unrighteousness through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm going to have the band come up and I'm going to share with you, we're going to sing this last song, but letting you know that the altar's open. And you know what? You don't even have to come here to do business with God, but you know what? God sees you. Hebrews says that all creatures are naked and exposed, and God sees the desire of your heart and the thoughts and the intents of your mind. He sees it all, but guess what? He still loves you. He sees all the struggle, all the sin, all the burdens, all of it, and he still says, come. He still loves you. And he wants us to have the same mind that was in Christ. Chapter 2 goes on to say, maybe that's next week. Chapter 2 says, put this mind on that was in Christ. Where he was in the very form of God, but humbled himself, lowered himself. That's our marching orders. Because I love that God in his word is so real. He says, if you want to be the greatest, he doesn't say, you sinners, you want to be the best. He says, if you want to be the greatest, guess what you got to be? The servant, the lowest, the least of all. Sign up to serve. Sign up to be the least. Sign up to be the lowest. I'm going to pray, and then we'll sing. All right. Father, thank you for the challenge to be pure, to be holy, to be your church, to be a church with unity, because we're all unified in your grace, in your gospel, in your spirit, in your love. And Lord, with Jesus in us, we truly can long for the world's salvation. We can live out compassion. We can live out your love. And Father, help us to do it in our homes, our houses, our schools, our workplace, our community. Lord, that everyone around us would see you. They would see Jesus, and we'd be able to bring you glory. We love you. We thank you for this unity. We thank you for your word and your spirit, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, church family, let's stand and let's sing.